How many times I hear about my Lord and what he's done for me. Going to the cross, bearing my sins, and dying so that I could be saved. Because I, having nothing good in me, couldn't do it myself without him. Just how blessed that I am that he came and did that for me. I'm so thankful for God's love towards us, that he cared enough about us to do that. And that our God, being the great Almighty, knew way before that I was born, before he made man, before this earth came to be, he knew that I'd need a Savior. We talk about the coming again of Christ, and that it is coming one day, and we may believe that it's soon because it feels like the prophecies are fulfilling, and the way the world is, it seems like how much longer is it going to be? And you can also go back 2,000 years, back when Christ ascended into heaven and the disciples thought it wouldn't be long then. And I don't know how long it's going to be. Nobody does except for God himself. And people of the world will say that we're just silly and superstitious and think that that he's coming back is just the silliest thing in the world to think about. God bless them. Because they need it. They don't know God like I do. Because this religion that I have, the salvation that I have in my soul, is not something that I can just say that I have. I know that I have it because I feel it. I felt it this morning. As I sat and listened to the songs, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit came into my heart and my soul that I have that you can't find inside of me. You cannot open me up and find my soul. But it's there. I can't find heaven right now because I can't go and look and say, there it is, but it's there. I can't find hell right now. You can't dig down in the earth and think you're going to find hell as many times as we talk about and say that, you know, hell's down, heaven's up. There's nowhere you're going to find hell, but it's there. And I'm sure to the world that seems absolutely crazy. You have got to be the most gullible people that there are to believe that this invisible person in the sky is ruling over this world. How silly are you? It may sound silly to them, but I know what I feel in my heart. I know what the Lord has done for me. I know that I can read this old book written thousands of years ago, and I can see it today, even though it was written by men that long ago. I see it happening in real world time today. So if I'm silly, I'm silly. I'm going to go with silly. Because silly has brought a peace into my heart and a love into my heart that I dare not ever give up again. So thankful this morning for the blessings that God has given me. Many times when we come in, and today was an off day, usually we have many prayer requests that come about. I know that I can think back over the weeks that we have much to pray for as a church. Sister Lisa is not here this morning, but I know that she has problems that is going on with her eyes and her life. We have surgeries coming up, surgeries that have just happened. We have those that are in the hospital. We have those that have got diseases. We have family that needs to be prayed for. Many prayer requests have come about from this congregation in the last month. If we look at Matthew chapter, I'm just going to a quick version off the turn there yet, although I'm going to be here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says, "For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Well, I've heard this all my life. Since I was just a little fella, I know that my parents and my grandparents have taught me that God knows what you need before you ask him. And I don't know if it's the rebellion in me as I grew up. I'm like, well, why are we even asking? Why do we have prayer requests? If he already knows everything, why do I even pray? It doesn't make any sense. He knows what I'm going to pray for, then I don't need to pray. He already knows it. Well, then there's some other verses that they would quickly send you to, and you don't have to turn to these, but Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. John 14, 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we go to prayer because we're told to. If you're going to believe that God is your Savior, and then you have to believe that that there is this book that we have, and that it is all for good, and it is all truth, and that there are no contradictions in it. So if him saying that he knows what we need before we pray, to think that we don't need to pray would contradict those two scriptures I just read. So he obviously wants us to pray. And he wants us to talk to him. And he wants us to be close to him. So sometimes I may forget. And it sounds silly that even after being saved for this many years, sometimes I forget how to pray. And that's because of me as a man, as a sinful creature. I get things mixed up sometimes about who the powerful one is. Because I think sometimes that I can do things myself. So I went to chapter 6 in Matthew, starting with the 5th verse, and this is a very familiar reading. If you, as I grew up and in sports, many, after every practice, just about, from high school, I think through college, when we got done practicing, the ones that would stayed and said a prayer. This was at a public school, believe it or not. That we led it through through the players, not by coaches, but through players would stay and say a prayer. And many times it was just that we would say the Lord's Prayer. And many of us, I mean, I can recite it by heart now many times, and I did change a couple words, which made it a little tough for me because everybody said trespasses and I always said debtors, and it never did flow like everybody else's, but it was fine. I did get through it. But I never really looked at what was going on here more than that until much later. What we find here is Jesus teaching. If Jesus was teaching this, it's something that he wants us to know, and we probably ought to pay attention to and figure out. In Matthew 6 and 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray that thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye are need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray." So this is getting into the Lord's Prayer and how he wants us to pray. So he's told us some things so far that he has seen in the daily lives as they walked around, as he's teaching. And he talks about some that go out and they go out to the corners of the streets and they're loud and they're boisterous and they're praying to God. And he's saying that's not right. We're like, well, how can praying to God not be right? Because he looked at the condition of the hearts of those people. They were not going out and praying with an uplifted voice to uplift the Lord. They were going out and praying with an uplifted voice to uplift themselves. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be recognized. There's no part in God's business, in any of God's plan, to where I, Matthew Patterson, need to be recognized. I am nothing. Just a mere tool for God to use. And not even a good tool. You know, sometimes when I go out and buy tools, I get some nicer ones. I got some DeWalt tools that I like pretty well. Milwaukee's probably might be a little nicer. But sometimes I get the cheap tool. When I just need to use it a little bit or I'm not really worried about it, I go get the cheapest tool I can find. I feel like that's me. I'm the Harbor Freight tool. The one you get and use once or twice and then it breaks. There's nothing good in here. There's nothing for me to be seen of me. There's nothing that God is getting by me trying to show out. And there's some that went out and they prayed, and they prayed it many times in just really long prayers. My grandfather used to pray for 25, 30 minutes. I'm going to tell you, he wasn't doing it for anything more than he was pouring his heart out to God. I have no doubt, and I listened to him after I prayed for a few minutes. And the next 15 minutes, I'm figuring out what is he talking about. And I started listening to him. And I know that he was pouring out his heart and his cares to the Lord. He wasn't doing it because of anything more than God Almighty is great. But many people will do it in vain repetition. They'll just do it over and over and over again. And you really come to find out, they're just reciting this prayer at the end of practice just to have a prayer to say. That ain't really praying to God. That's just saying some words. If I went out and said this prayer 13 times, that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to just say something over and over and over again. That's not what communicating with God is about. In the sixth verse, he tells us how to go about and to condition before we even get to prayer where we need to get to. It tells us to go into our closets and shut the door. And I don't think it really means to kind of closet that you can fit in and get into. What he's saying is get into a place where you're alone, where you can be alone with the Lord and shut the door to shut off all the distractions. I don't know, but if you're in my house many times, if you're not in a closet with the door shut, there's a TV going, there's three dogs running around, there's something going around all the time making noise or something happening all the time. But when you get in that closet and you shut the door, it kind of shuts you off from all the rest of it. I don't have a TV in my closet. I don't have a computer in my closet. I don't have a chair in my closet. I don't have any of that. I got some old clothes. Most of them don't fit me anymore. So it's just a place that you can be alone with you and God. Then he gets into the prayer, and I'll go through it quicker, then I'm going to go back and look at it even closer. It says, starting in the back of the ninth verse, says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then just to go on a little farther, he says, For forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want to go back through that prayer because it's been very interesting to me as I've looked at it and just going, what is Jesus teaching us? I think if he's teaching the disciples and the people here in Matthew, if it was important enough to teach them, it's important enough to teach us. And though he's trying to teach us, I guess I haven't paid real close attention. So the very beginning, the first line, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, capital F. Not talking about Jerry that's dead. He's talking about my Father, God. Now, I don't know, but this is in that time, it should have been a way of a respect into looking towards someone that is above you, an elder, someone that teaches you and provides for you. Then he goes on and says, in heaven. You're not talking about just someone that provides food, that someone that just provides shelter for you, someone that is in heaven above all, that provides everything for us. That's who we're praying to. Right off the bat, we're saying, God, you are the Lord of my life. You have everything to do with everything that I am. And if it's going to be taken care of, you're going to be the one that's going to have to do it. We're bringing honor and glory to him. We're uplifting him right off the bat. Reminding ourselves that we're a child of the King. A child that needs to be taken care of. We're not anything special. Just like I said a minute ago. In the 10th verse, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is over all of creation. He wants to bring his kingdom to all of creation. The problem that comes before us is that little thing called free will. We have the choice to follow God and do what God wants us to do, to accept his offer of salvation of his Son, or we have the option to turn and go the other way. We have the option to reject him. We have the option to do our own thing. We have to remember that this God, our Father that we have, is the greatest thing that there is in the world, the greatest thing that there is in the earth, greatest thing anywhere. But yet, as great as he is, he's also the small enough to talk to me individually and personally in my closet. And if I want his will to be done, that means I have to step back and say that maybe my will isn't done. In Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours, and in your thoughts. God's ways, we don't understand them. We're never going to understand them. But we should ask God for everything that we do. And there's going to be from time to time that, guess what? The answer's going to be no. And you may not understand why he wouldn't give it to us, but I guarantee whatever it is, it's in God's plan and in God's will. So when I ask for these things as I go about and things that seem really important to me, God has ideas and plans that he wants to do. And he knows better than us. So sometimes my asks might be just because I want to see them done. Not necessarily what God would want. And that's where I get tied up a lot in my prayer life, is that I have a ton of wants that I want. And I can go through them over and over and over again and ask for this and that. God promises he would take care of our needs. Our needs. Back when the Israelites were in, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I think it might be the next part. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, that short little verse. It's like, okay, give us our food. You have to look at a little more that we're just talking about bread. He's not saying he's asking for meat. He's not telling you to ask for whatever chicken and rice as we have and might love to eat here, or a hamburger or a steak. He's saying, give me my bread. You remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God gave them manna. And it just fell from the sky, and it was a perfect food for them that nourished their bodies as they went about their journey through the wilderness. And it took care of them, and it fed them, and it gave them their needs that they needed. What happened very quickly? Children of Israel got tired of it. Something else besides manna. It's just manna. I want something besides manna. That's our sinful bodies. That's my sinful nature. I'm the same way. I want that chicken and rice or steak and rice or whatever it is. I love that. That's good food. Guess what? I don't need it. I want it. We have to be careful as we start asking more and more, and we go back up into the verse right before it. The things that we want may not be what God has for us. We have to get ready for the answer no. It comes from time to time. And if you're in my case, they ask for crazy ones, it comes a lot. But I ask. I take it to the Father. I get down on my knees and pray, and as we go through, sometimes he'll tell me, you're just being silly. And usually I know ahead of time, but I like for God to confirm it quite a few times. And lead us not, and forget our debts as we forgive our debtors. And this kind of goes along with that last couple verses as we talked about forgiving men of their trespasses, or God wouldn't forgive our trespasses. To trespass to debt is to sin. We're asking God when we go through what he's telling us to say is ask for relief from your sins that you have committed against the Lord. What he's telling us to do is to repent. Go through your daily lives and look at what you've done. And there's times when you know you've done wrong. Ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord to go into your life and forgive the sins that you have. Repent of them. Because when God forgives them, he forgets them. They're gone. That's not like we are we? Because when it goes later and it says to forgive our debtors, he's coming to us then and saying, help me to when people wrong me and do me wrong, to forgive them. And if we're going to do it like God does, we forget about it. When somebody doesn't do and hold up their end of the bargain, and they come and tell me sorry, and I say I forgive them, it should be gone out of my memory. That's the way God does it. And we should move on then. For whatever transaction it is, if it's a business proposition or if it's a personal relationship, it's gone. It's like it was never there. And things should resume just like it was. Because that's what happens to me every day. I go through it. If God tracked through all my sins that I commit a day or two and I don't ask forgiveness for them, they're going to stack up pretty good. And then comes condemnation. You know, asking relief from our sins isn't for God's benefit, it's more for our benefit. But it is God that gets the glory out of it. But the weight of our sins that we do on a day-to-day basis weighs me down sometimes. I'm so thankful that God is so gracious and merciful that I can go to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for this and that, and he'll forgive me. But even as he tells us here, we have to remember that that's our job too, to do for everyone around us. And that's what sometimes will lead people to not understand how we can just forgive things, and we'll be able to tell them a little more about the Lord and how we can have forgiveness, because he has shown me forgiveness. The great forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In our walks, as we go through life, and I have no doubt now as it was then, there's times coming and we'll be tempted to sin. There is nothing wrong with being tempted to sin. It's when you actually go do it. You're going to be tempted a lot as you move through from things that you see, things that are happening around you. This world has offerings for you to do just about anything you want to do. And you may look up on them with your worldly eyes and be like, that sounds like fun. But to know that where it's going to lead you from beyond and past that, you know that it's not a good thing to go into. We're asking God to help us as we move along our daily lives, to cut those temptations out. And that's only going to happen by each and every one of us having a closer walk with Him. And those temptations will start cutting out. I know, because it has for me. You'll still have them, don't get me wrong. They're still there. It says, deliver us from evil. There's going to be times that we're going to give in to this temptation a little bit. But get us to be able to get out of it as quickly as we can. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye be able to bear. To bear. I've heard this said so many times, and that God will not put on you any more than you can handle. Well, I'm going to tell you, even I know that's what it says here, saying that, as many people say it, it's 100% a lie. Because guess what? I can't take any of it. There isn't an ounce of temptation that me alone can withstand. But I can withstand any temptation put upon me when I have God with me and on my side. Then I can withstand some temptation. That means that I have to have a walk close with Him so that I can have Him with me, so that when these temptations come, then I can withstand them. When you don't have God with you and you're just walking far from Him, and you get away and you try to do your own things, and He's not there to help you, embrace you as you go through life, those temptations are easy to fall into. Too many times I've been in the wrong spot. It haven't came out the way I should have. Because I didn't choose God over my earthly pleasures. The one thing that I looked through this many times, and I looked through the different things that He's telling us to go forth with in this prayer, and again, it starts with God Almighty, the Lord of all. And you realize it also ends with for thy kingdom, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thy kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. It starts with all of God, and it ends all of God. So what I get into when I look through that, and I think, and I go through our many prayer requests that we have, and He knows them before we ask, and I know I should be praying and all this. Where did that fall into Jesus' model there? Where did that fall into that? Are we not supposed to ask for specific prayer requests? I mean, should we just... I was like, where is that? Luke 11, 9 through 13. Got me a real quick answer of how to come about to answer that question. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If the Son of Man, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? He tells us very clearly here that it's okay to ask for our specific personal needs, for our specific personal things that we have that we can't know what to do about, that we can't take care of on our own. We want God's help. It's perfectly fine to pray to Him about these things. So where does that fit in at? I mean, you know, I would think If it's in God, if the Lord is teaching us how to pray and what to do, He's teaching us exactly what we should say, not what we say, but how we should go about reaching the Father. And so I read through that again, and it's there. I just didn't see it the first time. And what we have to realize is we go to prayer again. We're praying to God to what? His will be done. We have to remember, we don't want to ask for what we want to be done. We may bring it forth to Him, but we're not asking that we want this done. We should be asking God, what is your will in these situations? Amen. And back in the it says, after, there it is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I never really realized that's where all my specific prayer requests were going to. I didn't understand and realize that that was where they were all going to funnel into. I knew they had to be there because if Jesus was teaching it, it was good and right. So I was like, this has got to fit somewhere. And what wasn't fitting was because I was putting on everything to be about me. I wanted to know when this house is going to be, I'm going to find it. Or I pray that I want this to happen. Or I want to figure out this. Or I want to know about this person. I want this person to be healed. Or I know the problems that I have. I want them to happen for me. I wasn't praying right. I was praying to me, the God. And I ain't worth nothing. I needed to go to our Father. I needed to go to God and say, God, I have all these things that I don't know about and I'm worried about, and I don't need to worry. My wife doesn't like it when we preach about this, because she's the worrier of the family. There's no worry to have. God has it. We have to put those desires and need in God's hands. So all those things that I've worried about and I pray for, I need to just throw them upon God and say, take care of them however you will. And then we have to be ready to be happy about it, whatever it is. Even if it's no. Even if it's not the outcome we have to trust and pray that God is in charge and He has His will is taken, it is glorified in all ways. That His will is done. And His will is for us to walk close to Him. His will is for us to be saved. His will is for Him to be glorified through us. His little Harbor Freight tool that ain't worth a penny, but He can do a little bit of work for a little bit. We need to be careful how we're praying. And I never really took that into consideration so much. I thought, well, He tells me to go pray, I go in and pray. And I try to pray, and it's in the down in the basement late at night in an old chair, and I'm praying and laying there and talking to Him. I sure did forget about His will be done. Because I become so egotistical and I become so indulged with myself. That I want what I want, not what He wants. And that's what we need to be careful today, church. As we go through and try to talk to people and want to see things done, what is God's will? Last thing I've got today is Psalms 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. God will take care of His people. He has taken care of His people. He has been more than gracious to us. As we go through And there is a stipulation that comes with that. As God is fully capable and deserving of, is that we have to walk uprightly. We want to have the blessings of God. We want to see godly things done. We have to act like it. Many times, again, back to the football times, you know, everybody would talk about, you know, I'm going to go take him out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. We can do a whole lot of stuff talking. We can talk a really good service. We can talk a really good year. We can really talk a good congregation. We can talk these things. When it comes down to it, there's a battle that has to be done. Let's see what you can do. Let's put those talk into action. Let's see if we can reach God. Let's see if we can walk uprightly. Let's see if we can lift His name. And then we'll see what God can do. And I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot better than anything we can imagine. There have been times that we've went through things, and I had a certain expectation of what I thought we could get done, and then suddenly, you know, we talk and turn to God and pray to Him, and I'm going to tell you, it comes out a lot better than even I ever imagined. I think about when we were going to Africa, and, well, Trina was going to Africa. We weren't going. It was supposed to be Trina and a bunch was going, all women were going to work with the school, and I think there were probably 10 of you going at one point. And then it was down to 5, and then it was down to 3, and then it was down to 2, and then it was just Trina going. And I said, well, you're not going by yourself. And within a month's time, we all had our passports, we had the plane tickets bought, and we had everything figured out. I didn't know how it was going to happen, not in that short of time. I'm going to tell you, God got in that with us. No doubt in my mind, God got into that situation and made it happen. And that trip changed my life. I believe, Matt, hold your hand up. With another one. You can see that bracelet on his wrist. That's a Kenyan bracelet that he got. I think that's a new one he got brought over to him because he broke his first one. That's still the same one. He's had that on his wrist for, what, 8 years, 9 years? That was a trip that has just totally impacted my life in a way for God that I can't even explain. About seeing those people that have absolutely nothing. Dirt floor huts. We lived in a little tiny apartment with Ashley and Thomas. And it was the penthouse. I mean, it was the super nice place. Most of us wouldn't live there in the United States. So how little they have. Many people have dirt floors, and nobody has a car. Very few people have a motorcycle. And they came to God, they came to this little school and church, and on Sunday mornings they open up the windows and put these huge speakers in there and can't wait to hear the Word of God. A whole house full. It was at least this size of this sanctuary filled. God had a plan for me to be able to go there and see that. I have no doubt in my mind. Because it renewed my thought and love, and to see people want to hear the Word of God just totally renewed my salvation, I think. I didn't get new, but it just brought that joy back. To see those people wanting to hear God. And I see churches, and I know we come, but man, just why don't everybody want to hear what God has to do for them? And I know that because I know what He's done for me. We went to Belize and saw a very similar situation. At least this many of just young children, young kids, what, 20 and under, 25 and under, that were there, just packed the place. They wanted to be there. They were singing and dancing and talking about God, and they all wanted to sing something for God. The desire, and as we drove the van around, kids just jumped in the van. I'm like, how can the parents just let them jump in here? But they did, and they were glad to get into God's house. In a little, what we would consider a hut, in the middle of the jungle, with no power, except for a generator. I'm so thankful God gave me that opportunity to go. let's make time to pray to God. If Jesus teaches how to do it, it's obviously important. He wouldn't teach us something to do just because. We're not doing this just for a show or for an act. In fact, that's what he actually teaches us not to do. We're doing it to talk to God. I have a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior of all the universe. I get to sit down and talk, and I can do it anywhere. Let's not act like you can't. I've done it in many states. I did it in a little hotel room last night that we had walled off with a blanket to kind of get us have two separate rooms so we didn't bother Trina. She slept. That little old rickety ride, the chair they had, God talked to me in that chair. And I don't ever really bring that into consideration many times, is that I'm talking to God. Amen. It's not an imaginary voice. It is the one who wrote this book, the one that sent his son, the one that's who I'm talking to. You understand how important prayer is? It's our communication line with God. That's my message this morning. Everything that we have I forget who I listened to this week that was talking, I believe, about the Holy Spirit. It might have been Jerry Miller. So they had two things to say about the Holy Spirit. And it's the same thing about prayer. Anytime and every time. Anything you have and everything you have, take it to God. The Holy Spirit, we ask for Him to be here all the time, but everything we have, we can take to Him. Anything we have, we can take to Him. He may say no. Act like you're a 2-year-old little kid asking what they want for Christmas. Well, you'll get a list. You'll get a list of about $500,000. You don't get it all, but every now and then He comes through and He'll touch you and answer those prayers. That's my message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart this morning that we might bring?